You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
As our beloved Broadway community approaches a return, we are following four working artist mothers from both sides of the table and across diverse worlds as they emerge from this time of togetherness with their children. Two became pregnant and gave birth in the 17 months since the shutdown, while the other two paused the 8-show-a-week mom life juggle and are having to readapt to time away from their sweet babes, knowing now just how precious the moments with them are.
Tony nominee Elizabeth Stanley, Moulin Rouge's Corey Pettinod, choreographer Lauren Lataro, and Come From Away's Pearl Sun share their stories in our special four-part miniseries, Returning Reborn, The Rebirth of the Broadway Mom. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. One of our very first guests on Mama's Talkin' Loud joins us today to talk about her unexpected return to Broadway, from resuming 8 shows a week after spending more time than she ever has with her son Max, to her anxiety about moving through the city as an Asian American. Her emotions run the gamut.
However, she is looking toward the reopening of Come From Away with more hope than hesitation, and most importantly, compassion for herself and others. Here's our first check-in with Pearl Sun.
We'll jump in. There's a little, it's 10 o'clock at night, like we said, 10:15, fitting
oh,
in where
Lord.
We can.
Yes.
So
yes.
Late.
The children are asleep, though.
They are.
Yes. Yes, for sure. For anyone who's just joining us now in season 3, or maybe you weren't here for season 1, Pearl was one of our first guests, along with Jenny DeNoia. And you actually joined us so long ago, Pearl, that we were recording in an actual studio.
I know.
Not remotely, not staring at each other on the screen, not having to be our own editors and mixers.
My God. And talking me through what settings and how to do this.
Things we've learned during this year and a half, I really like. If you had told me I would know how to do all the things I know how to do now, I'd be like, no. But here
I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed in myself that I don't know more, but, you know, here we
Girl,
are.
Wow. You know here. What? At the end of the day, we survived a pandemic. I mean, it's ongoing. But we're here.
Yes.
And our kids are
and
here.
And our kids are here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How is Max? How is he?
He's good. He's almost gonna be 5.
I know.
He'll be
he and
5.
Finn are, like, so similar in age.
He'll be 5 on the 12th of September.
Oh my God.
And so that's kind of mind-boggling that he's already there. It's crazy, and he's just such a human, such a formed human. It's a little astonishing slash a lot astonishing, but he's managed okay. You know, we were very fortunate. We have a place in Connecticut outside of the city that we quarantined to, And we spent the majority of the shutdown here. I'm bouncing back and forth between here and the city these days until we get started again in the fall. But yeah, you know, we were, this is a gated community we live in, and we were able to set up our own summer camp on the grounds here. And we had a pod of like four or five other kids his age. And so they had some sense of normalcy over the summer. So they had each other to play with Monday through Friday for all the summer months, which was such an incredible gift to have. It's not lost on me that we were very privileged and fortunate to have that for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like our boys were so similar, and the marking of time from the pandemic, I see very specifically with him. Like, he started it very much a toddler. He was three. He was still in a crib, even though he didn't have to be. And he is just a changed. He went from that part baby to now like full-blown kid. And it's a real big shift. We were watching videos because my husband just returned to work today. And so we were watching videos the other night of the beginning. And we were looking at him. We're like, he has this little tiny baby voice. And you know, he's so little. And now he's just so mature. It's wild to think of the growth that has happened during this specific time.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly correct. The truth is that we've been in this for a while, guys.
You know,
it's not, and you know, kid years, baby toddler years, those are like dog years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and particularly
lots of change.
Yeah, particularly that age range that you guys are just talking about with Finn and with Max. Like, that 3.5 to 5-ish is a massive jump. I remember that with Elliot. It's just like an epic jump. So
crazy. Yeah.
And the thing is also, it's like, what I'm realizing is, y'all, we've turned the corner past 1.5 years, right? Like, we've turned the corner to coming up on 2 years almost. You know, it's like by the time a lot of us go back to work, it will have been almost 2 years since we were on stage and since the shutdown. So on some level, you know, I keep thinking, oh, 2020, it was 2020. Like, it was a year. So you think, oh, it's not that long. And then you realize, oh, wait, it's almost September of 2021. And this is still our reality. Right.
I mean, you know, I traveled abroad on vacation recently, and I've come to realize that the rest of the world has accepted that this is our new normal, and that it's actually not going away, and that we just have to kind of function and maneuver and work through this and with this. And I find that our country's not there yet. You know, the acceptance of that and the receipt of it is not there. But you know, we just kind of got to take it day by day, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, that's the thing, is like, here we are and we're moving through it. And I think that a lot of us had felt like we got to this point. I know I did, where I said, you know what? I don't think there's going to be another lockdown, right? I don't think they're going to shut down Broadway. They're not going to shut down the economy. They're not going to do all these things. We all have to learn to live and walk through this moment, you know? And yes, it is the normal for now. It is the new normal for now. Hopefully in, you know, 3 years, it won't be, you know what I mean? Like, I keep thinking, like, will the day come when it's not? But for now, it's here. And,
and this is the thing, is that, you know, I actually am not trying to put it out there that I want this to happen, but I also have seen what has happened to other countries in regards to what our business has been doing. So in places like Korea and the UK and Australia, you know, they've reopened and they've also had to take pauses. You know, thankfully not long drawn out 17-month long pauses, but you know, they will have, you know, if things turn up, then that is a reality that we have to face, that that might exist and happen for us, is that we might reopen. We're going to reopen. And some shows have already reopened. And there might be a pause. There just might be a pause.
Yeah. Eric and I keep, sorry, one more thing and then we'll move on. But I wanted to this in. It's like Eric and I keep talking about the holidays and then the winter work-wise. And I was like, yes, but you're working under the assumption that this is all just going to go normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're working under the assumption that come January, we will have had a normal, quote unquote, normal fall and shows, yes, and we'll still be running and things will still be happening and people will be coming. We don't know.
Which is so funny because I feel like during the height of the pandemic, we got so used to not being able to make plans, like literally not knowing what our given circumstances were going to be from day to day. I remember talking to my mom and she was like, well, we want to do this. And I was like, I cannot make that plan. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what the restrictions in New Jersey will be. I don't know what the restrictions on my kid's school, like literally not knowing. And so really having to be in the moment and just go with it. So now this like forward thinking that we're doing, looking forward months in advance, is so foreign, right?
Yeah. And I find that it it feels harder now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of my friends have been responding in similar ways that this moment and this point has been the most difficult emotionally and mentally than it has been throughout the 17 months. And I think it's a combination of fatigue. You know, we've just been in this for so long and not being able to, as you say, plan. Because I think that's human nature, is that we have these ideas of what's to come and how to tackle and how to address things. And when you're constantly fight or flight, that takes a toll. Mm-hmm. That coupled with anxiety, because there is reopening happening. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? It's so unknown. How are we going to function? And are we going to perform well? Like, quote unquote, perform literally and figuratively. So I think that there's just a lot coming at all of us. And I just am hopeful. And I just want to send out to everybody that let's all be gentle with ourselves and patient and kind to each other, because we're doing it.
So speaking of that, how are you personally feeling about returning? What are your apprehensions, excitements? Where are you at?
I am mostly just so excited to be a part of reopening Broadway. It was an unexpected gift. So I started as a standby for those of you who are with us, season one, and, I was covering 5 of the 6 female roles. And then I left the show after a year and a half, and then they brought me back to play one role, and I was playing, the role of Janice and others, the reporter, when shutdown happened. And my contract, you know, ended only a few weeks after a shutdown. I was kind of sad because I felt like I didn't have the kind of closure that I would have liked to have had. And just a few weeks ago, I got a call that one of our onstage actors got a job that she couldn't refuse, but that she was, you know, it's temporary. So they asked me to come in and play the role in her stead. So I'm going to be rehearsing for 3 weeks, and then I'll be doing about 2.5 weeks of performances. And they said that they're leaving it open because they're not quite sure what her schedule will be. So I may be there longer. We're not sure, but pretty sure I'm done. My final performance will be October 7th, which is crazy because it's like full circle that I had 2.5 weeks left of my contract when shutdown happened. And now I'm being gifted the 2.5 weeks crazily. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And also for that to be such a short amount of time, right? Like, I mean, you're going to rehearse longer than you're planning to be performing it. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
to think, like you said, it's full circle. It's the exact same amount of time. And the universe is giving you this opportunity to have that closure, perhaps.
Yeah. And you know, and the reality is the show is such a beautiful show and I love it so much. For me and my, and where my headspace is that I couldn't continue as a standby any longer for myself and my sanity because it's a lot. And, you know, God bless swings and standbys. God bless, because it's the hardest job in our business. Yeah. So, but, you know, they've been so wonderful to me there. And when there is an opportunity for me to play one role at a time, this is now the second time they brought me back to do so, which is, you know, I'm very grateful. So I feel like at some point, maybe it'll just kind of roll this way and I'll kind of pivot in and out depending on what's going on work-wise otherwise.
I feel like that's the best, like as a mom, as a Broadway mom, that is like the best gig, I feel like, because I mean, Kara can speak exactly to this.
Yeah. Cause of prom, you were that really with prom.
I went in as like a temporary replacement, which was great too. Cause I like had an end date and then they hired me as a vacation swing and it was so great. Cause I would go in for like a couple weeks and then I was there more than I wasn't. There was a medical leave. So I actually ended up being in the building a lot, but I did have pockets of time where I wasn't there, where I could take my kid to gymnastics or be home for dinner and put them to bed. And it really was a nice, it was a nice balance of things to know that it wasn't, you know, that's the we always called it like the golden handcuffs. It's like, you've got this great job if you're in a long running show, but you don't ever have that end date where, you know, I'm going to have time with my family. Although we did just have
a whole lot of time.
We had so much time.
So much time. Well, oh my gosh.
But here's the other part of it is that as excited as I am to go back, you know, having that 8-show-a-week schedule, you know, now that Max is, like you said, a fully formed, you know, very aware human, he's had me 24/7 for 17 months. So that's his new normal. And now I'm going to have to pull myself out again. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, and thankfully it's not that long term, but it's a transition that we're all going to be making together.
For reals. Yeah. We're feeling that in our end too. In our house. Yeah.
Every day Finn says to Graham, he's like, I don't want you to go back to work, Dad. No. I don't want you, you know. It's heartbreaking to hear that. We kind of touched on this before we started, but, and I don't know personally what you're doing, but are you preparing in any way, like physically, mentally? You know, we talked to Corey Pettinon and she's a dancer, so she's really trying, and she gave birth during the pandemic, so she's really trying to get her body back in shape and, you know, feeling what this new version of herself is in that space. So what have you, or have you been doing anything to prepare, singing and everything?
I'm hitting the books again. I'm getting back in because there's so many intricacies with the show. I have to say, I think a couple weeks ago I turned on the soundtrack just to get it in my ear again. And the second that the beginning Balron starts drumming, I just started to go, oh, because I all of a sudden had a flash in remembering all the things that we're responsible for.
If I had to move chairs that many times in that many different shapes, I would also have that response.
And, you know, it's going to be fine. But, you know, the reality is, so, you know, the good majority of the cast that will be reopening the show had just come off of recording the film. So they did a film version that will be released on Apple TV on September 10th, but they filmed that in July and finished up at the end of July. So those cast members at least had that process. I have literally not touched the show in 17 months. And when I was in the show 17 months ago, I was playing a different role. So it's like, you know, getting my brain back in that space is going to be something. And I have definitely been going on hikes and trying to get my joints moving again. I've been playing tennis, you know, throughout this period. So, but you know, I've gained weight over this period.
And
I'm embracing that. And my wardrobe supervisor is lovely. And she's embracing me. So she's like, whatever, we've got this.
You know what? Like, good. It's like, we got an email from our wardrobe, from our designer, and they were like, so we're going to have fittings so that we can just see like if anything needs to be improved upon.
I love it.
I like that they put it that way.
That's such a nice way of saying it. But didn't you say that Hamilton is like not having them try on their old costumes?
Hamilton didn't even have them try on their costumes. They just measured them, and then they're going to have them change. So they didn't. I know.
Wow. So kind.
So they didn't have to acknowledge, you know, I mean, we all know, do you know what I mean? We know our bodies are different. We know whether it's weight gain or lack of muscle tone or whatever. Like we've said, nothing replicates an 8-show-a-week schedule and life. So like, you know, we weren't walking the New York City streets. We weren't hustling through the subway. We weren't climbing the stairs to our dressing rooms. And so Hamilton,
we weren't staying up till midnight every night. Like,
right.
I mean, right. Without even thinking about it, I was clocking 15 to 20,000 steps a day. Right. And I went, and my average really was a couple thousand here.
Yes.
Where I was.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
It's crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
And that's, you know, obviously without hiking and stuff like that, just normal day to day, but you like had to actively seek out getting yourself out there and moving.
There's also something to be said for, and I said I'm a personal trainer too, and I said this to my clients: you cannot underestimate the effect of the stress that has been on our bodies and the lack of dopamine and epinephrine just naturally occurring. That's not happening. You can't replicate that, and like cortisol, that the release of cortisol that happens in really stressful situations affects your body whether you want it to or not. Some people, it makes them really thin. Some people get like that, the stress makes them very lose a lot, where others it's the opposite, you know. So we can't underestimate, and we have to give ourselves grace like every second of every day.
Well, and the reality is that we are athletes. We are athletes in what we do. And you know, with Come From Away, it's a really deceptive show because you don't think that it's a physical show, but it is so physical. And we have a lot of repetitive motion, and we don't stop. We're on stage the entire time. And so, you know, injuries happen in this show in ways that people would not think it would happen, because it's like not considered a dancey or a dancer type show, but there's a lot of movement going on there. And so I'm hopeful that all of us are going to do what we need to do to take care of ourselves and nurture our bodies and our souls, because, you know, getting back into this 8-show-a-week schedule is no joke. And I've already heard from some friends who are working in other states that are already suffering with injuries. And it's just, we're being asked to perform as if we hadn't stopped for 17 months.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, as long as we're just really cognizant of that and take care of ourselves through this, we'll be okay.
Yeah, and take care of each other, I think.
And take care of each other. Like, let's look out for each other, because we're going to need as much help as we can get.
Yeah.
But, you know, but also the on the positive end, like how glorious to be able to, you know, there was a recording that was out there that, you know, was floating around in our group of the opening performance of Come From Away on the West End. Mm-hmm. And they had a backstage recording of the PA and the end of the opening number, and the applause was like 6 minutes or seven minutes long, and the cheering, and it just was nonstop. So, and it brought me to tears, like that kind of, we've yearned for that, right?
Yeah.
That return. So I'm really looking forward to that.
We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What is, as we start to wrap up, we've been talking and asking about sort of like a mantra for this time. As you move through this moment, what could be your mantra, or what are you carrying with you to maneuver this, you know, leaving, having to separate from Max now and go back into rehearsal, and, you know, the grace we're giving our bodies, all the things that particularly as mothers we have to carry, you know, just the logistical, as my daughter says, lifing, you know, adulting, yeah, but all of it on top of, you know, returning to our artistic homes and spirits.
You know, there's a lot. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Part of my return is, you know, I reached out to a company member to ask her. She's a neighbor of mine. She lives near me, and I asked her, you know, what are our plans for transportation? Because I personally don't feel safe traveling. I'm like opening, I know we're trying to wrap it up, but I'm just opening this up, but
yeah,
but, wanting to find somebody to ride home with at night, because through this period, the Asian hate crimes that are still prevalent and, you know, happening, even just this past Sunday, there was another one. I have to consider that. The city is no longer the city that I have lived in for decades, feeling safe, walking around at all hours. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that our show is only 100 minutes long, so I'm not that late in coming out. But, you know, I still have to consider, am I taking car rides home now? Am I, or if I'm getting on the subway, I don't want to do that alone, which is something that I didn't have to think about pre-pandemic, quite frankly. So there's just a lot. There's a lot that has happened over this period. And I just feel like, I think my mantra will just be gentle and not quick to anger, because that's something that I've kind of earned over this period too, is I'm just very quick to anger these days. If I see something that doesn't feel right, or that there's an injustice happening, that's where I am right now.
I know. That's because of your heart, though. So much of it, Pearl. It's like we see this injustice and we're quick to you're quick to anger because you care so much, because you are a good person, because you are a loving human and very empathetic. And we all should be more so, right? I mean, that's you're a very empathetic person living in this world right now. And it's so heavy on top of the horrible actions that are being taken to people in the Asian community, Asian American community, AAPI. It's horrifying and horrible. And that is definitely an adjustment that, to be honest, before talking to you, I know these things and I know it, but it didn't cross my mind to talk about it specifically with regard to the return. Do you know what I mean? But of course,
yeah.
You have to get to work. You have to go home from work. You have to feel safe when you leave the theater at night. And yeah, that's no friend.
But how amazing, Pearl, that your emotional reaction, you're saying you've been quick to anger, rightfully so.
Right.
And you are cognizant enough that that's something you want to not tamp down, but check, because obviously it also is taking a toll on you, right? That emotional response, I'm sure, has really taken its toll on you this past 17 months. And I feel like our country is in a place that is quick to anger on all sides, unfortunately. And is part of what has gotten us to this place that we are in right now, with our former administration and the hate that was spewed. So knowing that your empathetic, loving response to injustice, is something that you are so self-aware of. I mean, I feel like we can all take a lesson from that, right?
Yeah.
Is that as we're moving forward, if anything, if we have learned anything from this time, is that, sure, we've all been in a pandemic, but what's the thing that we've seen? We may all be in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat, right? Our experiences through this have been so different. Jessica and I have not experienced what it has been like to be an Asian American during this time. And I can't begin to imagine what that feels like. So as we move forward, is to have that broader viewpoint of what every single person around us, how they are experiencing this moment, you know, and how we can move forward through it in a more compassionate, empathetic way.
And
it's a lesson for all of us.
I wanted to, I had talked to Jessica about this, but I wanted to also bring up, Tom and I collaborated on a song that actually has to do with this very subject and the hate crimes and what has been happening. And it was such a gift to be able to creatively speak on everything that's been happening. And so Tom Kitt and I, you know, Tom Kitt has created this incredible album that just recently got released, and each track is a different story. So we, a bunch of us co-collaborated with him, and we were asked to give him a statement, and he then composed a song based on what we wrote. And so I know you guys had mentioned that you were talking to Elizabeth Stanley, who's a friend of mine, and she's on the album as well. And Mandy Gonzalez, who's also a Broadway mom, she's on the album as well. And each track is different, and I call it a time capsule of this last 17 months. And so I'm grateful that I had that opportunity to channel what I was thinking and feeling over this period into art, and to be able to collaborate with him was really a gift. Again, I'm grateful for the space that you guys provide for all of us to be able to talk these things out. And I feel like we all need that. Everybody needs a space and ears and hearts to receive, because what we've all been through, this entire world has been through, is unfathomable, actually. Mm-hmm. Even though we're living through it, it's a crazy, crazy period of time.
Yeah. I still feel like it's a horrible dream. I still say, this is happening. This happened? This is happening. You know? I mean, I lived it, but it's wild. It's wild.
Oh. I love you, friend. I wish I could reach through the screen and give you a hug right now.
Oh, thank you. I just love seeing your faces, and thanks for checking in. I mean, I think it's going to be just so healing to be in that space and with those people and telling this story at this time.
Absolutely. That is a come from away. It makes you feel so good about humanity and about people, and just, it lifts you up. I love that show. It's beautiful.
We could all use a healthy dose of faith in humanity right now. Yes. I think so.
Yes. Yes.
You're looking exactly for that. Come from away is definitely the answer.
For sure. For sure. Well, Pearl, thank you for joining us. We're going to talk to you again once you start rehearsals.
Oh, that's my goodness. Ooh! That's next week. That's I start exciting. Next week.
Oh my gosh. So soon. What's crazy is so your soon. Last show, you said, so is exciting. October 7th, you think?
Yeah.
My show reopens on the 8th. Like, you're going to have rehearsed and done your show.
Well, and then I can come see you.
Yes. Yes, please.
Because I haven't seen the show yet.
Oh, you guys.
I still have to go because we were supposed to go the weekend of the shutdown.
They were.
Let's go together. Let's go together. I want to go.
Let's do it.
I love that idea. I love it. Awesome. Well, yeah. Pearl, we will talk to you soon. And I'll see you in the neighborhood soon, maybe.
Yes, neighbor.
Yes, neighbor. Okay, have a good night. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. Special shout outs to Justin Squiggs Robertson for our fabulous new graphic, Kristen Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Wardweber for our awesome theme song, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.